In celebration of the 20th anniversary of the Morro Bay National Estuary Program, we decided to visit with some of the people whose lives are intertwined with the bay and the estuary. Come along and join Virginia and John Flaherty, owners of Central Coast Outdoors, as they relive the magic of wildlife encounters in the estuary.
I'm Virginia Flaherty, and...
I'm John Flaherty. Together we run Central Coast Outdoors, and we do guided kayak tours on the bay. We've been in business for, about 12 years now?
Yeah, 12 years.
Yeah. We also do some other tours around the bay, but kayaking is our most popular program by far.
Do you remember when we came out here on Christmas morning and we had Kinley, our daughter, and the dogs, and we had everybody in kayaks, and it was a really cold day, and we saw all of those amazing flocks of sandpipers doing their banking off in the distance and their white flashes. And do you remember that?
It is so beautiful out here in the winter. Some of those Christmas days are just amazing.
The best, yeah. Wintertime is definitely my favorite time around here.
We love the winter mostly because it's so calm. Also, the amount of bird species that are here in the winter, it's amazing how many bird species there are. In and around Morro Bay, there are often up to 200 different species of birds in the wintertime that are here. It's a major bird-watching hotspot, international hotspot. For example, if you want to see a brant goose and you want to see it and check it off your life list and you're a bird watcher, come to Morro Bay, because every winter we have lots of brant geese here, and they are rarely found anywhere else in California now.
One of the most amazing things about Morro Bay, I think, is that every time we come out here, we see something different. It looks different. There are different birds on the bay. I see some ruddy ducks out there right now. We never get tired of being out here. It's just a phenomenal place. It changes every single day. The other thing that I think is so incredible about Morro Bay and the estuary and the sand spit is that we have a daughter, she's 13, and we've been bringing her out here in boats, out onto the sand spit, out and around the bay since she was born, basically. And she loves it. She's never gotten tired of it. She loves to come out with her friends. You can take kids out on the sand spit and let them run around to their heart's content, and nothing is going to happen to them. They are just, they're in seventh heaven out there. At the same time, our daughter thinks she knows a lot about birds. You can teach them all about the wildlife and the ecosystem and how wonderful it is out here. So she and her friends love it. I mean, it's to them as important as it is to us.
I think one of her friends actually wanted to have, I think it was her 13th birthday party out on the dunes. That was her idea of an awesome 13-year-old birthday party.
Yeah.
I just thought that was great.
So she needed us to get her out there.
Of course.
And then we could go.
The bay is just filled with so many interesting things. One of the things that I really like is that we have active oyster farming going on out in the bay. The two organizations that are out there, we know quite a bit about the Grassy Bar Oyster Company. George Trevelyan, I believe is his name, is out there. And he is a wealth of information. I've gone to talks that he's done. Every time we do tours and he's out there, we stop over at the oyster farm and listen to what he has to say. It never ceases to amaze me. No matter how deep he's got his hands in the muck or doing whatever, he's going to stop and take the time and explain and answer any questions. He's also been known to offer oysters to some of our clients on the tour. We never expect it, and I never ask, but sometimes if he's in the appropriate mood, he will. It's really interesting that you can have a productive aquaculture situation like that mixed in with a nationally recognized estuary and all this incredible wildlife. It makes it that much more rich and diverse, I think. The oyster farming also is an indicator that you do have a relatively healthy ecosystem. Because they can harvest and grow their oysters and harvest them almost year-round, it is an indicator that you do have a relatively healthy ecosystem here.
When I am out on the bay in a boat, the feeling that comes over me is just complete. It's, if I'm feeling any kind of stress in my life or anxious about anything, I can come out here and just disappears. It goes away. It's peaceful and quiet, and I'm distracted by animals and birds and just the beauty of the area and how few people there are around the bay and how few people there are out on the bay at any given time. So for me, it's just one of the most peaceful places I can imagine hanging out.
Peaceful, absolutely. But I also get excited when I'm out on the bay. It's peaceful when I'm out mostly on my own. But when I'm guiding tours, I get excited about how much there is to see and do. And
it does get very excited.
Yeah, I do. It's true. And, you know, our tours are typically 2 or 3 hours in length, but I feel like you could often spend 4 or 5 hours out there and never exhaust what's going on. And it's always so different. We might see sea otters. We might see peregrine falcons zipping over the Back Bay. In fact, sometimes I think that there's so many animals that we see on some tours, marine mammals, birds, all different kinds of animals, and they come so fast. And sometimes we'll see bat rays out on the tours. If we're really lucky, we might see a leopard shark out there. And I like to describe it sometimes as a wildlife soup out on the bay, because it just really seems like there's so much wildlife and you're in the middle of it so much. There's never really a dull moment out there.
Well, I think that one of the cool things about the surprising factors of the bay, or what things that make it unique every day, and you never know what's going to pop up out there. Like I was saying, in the wintertime when we were coming out, and you see these huge flocks of sandpipers, and everything, you look out on the mud flats and everything looks peaceful and quiet and all the birds are settled in, and all of a sudden things start moving around and you think, what's going on? And you look up and there's a peregrine falcon dive bombing sandpipers, and all of a sudden this calm is just disrupted into chaos, and it's there and then gone in a flash, and you just never know. It could not happen for weeks, and then suddenly, boom, something exciting like that happens. We find that very exciting when something like that happens.
And there are always different wildlife events going on. You know, you might be kayaking out there, and it might be smooth water, nice, and then suddenly a group of 15 or 20 sea lions might surface right near you, especially in the late summer or early fall when they tend to come back through into the bay and hunting bait fish. But you just might be there sitting in your kayak, and poof, they're right there. And then all these birds will start diving if they've got a group of bait fish. And you're just sitting out in the bay. And 10 minutes ago, it was just flat water, and there were very few animals around.
I think one of the most exciting things for our clients is when they get caught up in one of those feeding frenzies. And it can be a little unnerving. You can have sea lions coming up and pelicans and terns diving all around you. And I think people who aren't used to wildlife, it can kind of make them a little bit nervous. But eventually, they get into it and they love it. I mean, it's really exciting. It's about as close as you can get to a real wildlife experience to be right in the middle of a feeding frenzy.
We were talking about the surprises and the things that you see on the bay. And sometimes when a wildlife comes up, particularly the marine mammals, sea lions or harbor seals, they'll pop up really close to the boat and they'll just look at you. And it's the darndest thing. It's almost like you're in their home, and they're saying, hello, visitor. What are you doing here?
And they have those big black liquidy eyes.
Yeah.
That's amazing. You definitely have that feeling of connection. They probably don't, but you do.
They're wondering, who is this person in this plastic thing again doing in my house? And we've had experiences where the harbor seals, for example, will come so close to the boats and sometimes even nudge the boats. It's pretty rare, but we've had harbor seals swim underneath the boats and just pop up and take a look at us. Probably young ones, we surmise, because they're a little bit more curious.
We've also had a whale in the bay, which was kind of a unique and amazing experience. We didn't actually see it from our kayak, but which probably is a good thing. But we do see whales off of the sandspit quite often on our kayak trips, especially during the humpback season, end of summer into the fall. And you can get up there. We walk out on the sand dunes and look out, and there they are, right off the sandspit, which is kind of a bonus when you're out on a kayak trip. You don't expect to see a humpback whale.
You don't. And every once in a while, we'll get dolphins in the bay.
Yeah.
That seems to happen almost regularly now in the late summer. For maybe a week or two, there'll be small groups of dolphins that are through the bay, and they'll just be swimming around right off the marina here.
And you can get right up in the middle of them, and they just cruise around you. That is amazing.
Yeah. Looking a little bit to the future of Morro Bay, there are certain trends and things that we see here going on in the bay. Global climate change, with the anticipated rise in the ocean's level, that will certainly really change things here in Morro Bay over decades to generations of time. On the other hand, we have the bay is gradually filling in and silting in, which is, of course, by and large, a natural process. You've got two creeks coming out of the bay. They bring sediment in. And since the sea level has been stable for quite a number of thousands of years, it's slowly filling in. It's a natural process. What we know is that agricultural practices and other uses upstream tend to increase the amount of sediment coming into the bay. So the bay is slowly filling in more rapidly than it would otherwise. But then we have sea level rise, And that's a relatively recent thing. And so who knows what it's going to look like in 100 or so years from now.
One definitive thing is that it will look different in 100 years or so, because if you look back 100 years at the estuary, it looked completely different from what it looks like now. So it will change and evolve, and the wildlife will evolve with it. Hopefully it will still be here for our grandchildren.
It'll be here in some way, shape, or form or another. Yes. People don't even realize how dynamic it is. We look at things like the Heron Preserve, for example, and how recently that has really come into existence, because all of those trees are non-native trees. So they wouldn't even have been here before European settlement, which is a relatively recent thing. There is so much going on here. It's so dynamic that even within a few years, a few decades, you can really see big changes going on, both for better or for worse, unfortunately. To really sum up, for me, I think that in such a small area, it is incredible what you see here in Morro Bay. And I think I just have to go back to the fact that there's so much wildlife here. It is so diverse. I've traveled all over the world, as has Virginia, and it's incredibly rare to find this combination, not only culturally with the small towns, but everything else, the wildlife, the changing situation, and just what you can see and do here. It's just really, to me, an incredibly unique and special place.
And I think one of the great things about this area is that because it hasn't quite been discovered, or it's just being discovered by people from the Bay Area and people from LA, and tourists from Europe are starting to come here, so it's a relatively new discovery in California. And because it's taken so long, people have learned to appreciate places like this, and we aren't getting that overdevelopment that they're getting in some other places that once may have looked like this and been like this. Now people know enough that they know that this is a place that needs to be protected. And I think that's a really critical thing, an important thing.
And one of the nice things about Morro Bay, and I tell this to people on our tours, is every place that you see from the bay that's not developed, most likely or almost guaranteed, will not be developed. You're looking at a lot of state parkland. You're looking at a lot of open space that's been preserved over the last few decades. So really, the places that are settled and built out, that's it. And so it makes me feel happy to know that, at least in the immediate environs of the bay, we don't have a lot of development threatening the area immediately in and around the bay.
Makes me happy, too.
Yeah.